Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. We're looking forward to this conversation ever since he agreed to do this with me. Vic Ballard joins us now here on the podcast, and we're going to go back in time. It's hard to believe this, Vic, but that's the last time Mississippi State played at Florida. Was the game in 2010, and it's two teams supposedly in the same conference, but they haven't made this trip. When you remember back to that week, you know, with Mullen having come from Florida and knowing a lot of those players, having a relationship with Urban Meyer, do you remember what the message was from him going into that game?
I really don't, honestly, because it's been a while now, but I do remember thinking that maybe we have a little edge because he, you know, has some familiarity with the players, with the coaches, and I guess you could say the overall scheme. And I just remember it being a big week because, you know, it was also, you know, the media hyped it up because it was, you know, Mullen's return to Florida. So, you know, that goes without having to speak for.
And that was a game where, you know, when you look back at that point in the season, I think there was a lot of, is Mississippi State for real? Is this team going to be one of the best teams in the SEC this year? You know, you'd had some early season success, had lost to LSU and to Auburn, obviously, but it turned things around, beating Georgia. And so people were looking at this game and saying, well, if State can go into the swamp, that would be a big statement for you guys. I think that, you know, they always talk about blocking that kind of noise out. How much can you really do that in the locker room?
It's hard to block it out, man. But I think we kind of went into it confident because I don't remember exactly the way the schedule unfolded, but I remember we beat Georgia, mm-hmm. and we beat Florida. I think they were ranked at the time, and
they were.
Yeah, they were like 25th, and that was a huge confidence boost for us. So whatever chatter was going on outside of our locker room, you know, after that we kind of silenced it.
What kind of atmosphere was that in the swamp that night? I mean, that's a place that is well known for being a tough place to play. Did you feel that going into the game?
I definitely did. And I didn't notice it at the time, but, you know, we were only running the ball. I think we ran the ball.
I was going to get to that. Yeah.
But yeah. I think that was one point in time where we had ran the ball maybe 23 times straight. It was something crazy like that. And I was thinking to myself, man, who are we, Georgia Tech? You know, I think we only threw the ball seven times that game, probably six because one of the
nine. I thought it was less than that too, but it was nine. Ralph was 4 of 9 in that game.
That is crazy. And I think one of those completed passes was a pitch to me because it was a forward lateral.
Yeah. So, and there's a shovel pass in there too to Brandon Henderson. I went back and watched some of the highlights today. Basically, State, he threw it down the field twice in this entire game.
That is crazy. We was moving the ball though, so.
And you look at it, the ratio was 49 runs to 9 passes. You know, it's kind of interesting. Florida ran 30 more plays than you guys in this game, but they couldn't get anything going offensively. State had you had a couple of timely turnovers. Jonathan Banks had an interception. KJ Wright had a fumble recovery in that one. But you had, you know, 22 carries. Ralph was over 20 carries as well. I have to guess, going into the game plan was not, we're going to run it 50 times and only throw it 9. At what point in the game does Mullen say, okay, we're just going to pound them and not stop?
Like I said, man, I didn't even realize it was unfolding like that. I just, you know, looked up and I was like, man, we're not throwing the ball. And I remember we actually put in a package for me, I guess the Wildcat. That, you know, other than that, We pretty much practiced our regular offense, you know, leading up into the game. So we wasn't running a disproportionate amount of running plays throughout the week. We ran our, you know, typical offense. So I guess at some point, Mullen said, I think that we might have an advantage on the ground versus in the air.
What kind of offensive line did you play with? We all know Jarek Sherrod was a first rounder, but guys like Salisbury, Tobias Smith, Bregoni, yeah. These are guys that, I mean, they could move the pile.
For sure. And at the time, they were all pretty seasoned. You can't forget about Gabe Jackson as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not so, seasoned though. He was a young guy in that group.
Yeah, he was a freshman. So we had, you know, with the exception of Gabe, but Gabe held his own whenever he came in. But everybody was pretty seasoned, so it made, you know, Guys like me, man, our job's easy.
What's that moment like where the field goal that they attempt to tie the game at the end? What's that moment like where you realize it's no good?
Oh man, it was awesome. It's a I have a picture etched in my brain, when they missed and everybody stormed the field. And it was this one guy, he was a safety named Zach Smith. He
Yeah.
jumped he jumped on one of the coaches. I can't remember who it was, but it like I said, it was one of those memorable moments where it's like, man, I'm gonna remember this forever.
When you think about, Mississippi State in that particular season, I feel like this game this year as well kind of has sort of some similarities. If State could go down there and get a win, it could turn their season in the right direction the way it did for you guys. When you think about playing on the road in the SEC, what's the single most important thing that teams have to have if they want to win on the road?
I think confidence, because obviously you're not at home, and there's a little bit. It's a little different, at least when you're on offense, because you can't hear, and you got to rely on the silent snap count. But just knowing that, we put in the work throughout the week, we're just as good as these guys, and just having that swagger about yourself to know that you can come in a hostile place like that and walk away with a W.
It's kind of interesting. There's two guys that are still with the team today that would have been out there. Obviously, Chad Bumpus is an assistant coach here at Mississippi State, but Greg Knox is still on staff here at Mississippi State, who would have been your running backs coach. Give me, I know you've got to have one. Give me a good Greg Knox story.
Oh, let me see. I'm trying to think of a nice one.
His son's a good running back right now, too, for Starkville High, man. He can run the football.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's funny because I remember when they were like babies, like I don't know, maybe 3, 4 years old, and now they're teenagers. It's crazy. I guess I'm getting old, but I don't really have a particular story. I just remember a saying that he used to always say. He would always say, "Jiminy Christmas," like whenever he, because he wouldn't cuss. He would. He would always say, "Jiminy Christmas." Like, what is
That's a bad word for Coach Knox, I think.
right? Exactly. Yeah, he's a great man.
And you played in and you know with a Obviously, Relf could run the football. You had Ladarius Perkins. Robert Elliott got some carries in this game. That was a team that was kind of built around the running game. But even then, we go back to it. I don't think it was built for 50 runs versus 9 passes. That's still to this day one of the most improbable offensive displays I've ever seen. But it worked, and you can't argue with the results.
Around that time, I think we were still trying to find our identity as an offense, and because I can't remember what game of the year that was, but I feel like we have finally started to get some momentum, and we figured out as a unit we can move the ball pretty well on the ground.
So that game, I got the box score up here. That was game 7 of the season. You were 4-2 coming in, and were 5-2 coming out. So great, just a game that, and again, it stands out for me for two reasons. One, it was really the first after the he had the Egg Bowl his first year, but this is like the first signature win for Dan Mullen. But two, as I mentioned at the beginning, it's been 15 years since these two teams have played in that stadium. And
Crazy.
that doesn't make any sense when you think about playing in a conference. State's played more games at USM in the last 15 years than they played at Florida. Just from Dan Mullen, from Mississippi State, whatever, what's the memory that always stands out to you when you think back to your time here in Starkville?
As you were talking, immediately I thought about, obviously the Egg Bowl weekend, how we would, do crazy stuff like put the, Ole Miss jerseys on the floor and walk over them, as we were in and out of facility, or put Ole Miss decals inside the urinal. Just like, just little petty stuff like that, man, to intensify the rivalry between us. But it was a nice time. I really enjoyed it.
So I see the picture behind you. Is that the dive into the end zone, that crazy touchdown you scored?
Oh yeah, no, that's in when I was in Indianapolis.
Okay. I always think about that play where like you basically contort your body midair to get into the end zone. That's one of the craziest touchdowns that I remember seeing. You were talking to us though, talking to me before the thing. Your life has not taken the path that you thought it would when we were playing this game. You are now an aerospace engineer. Now, Mississippi State's a great engineering school, but that was not why you came to Mississippi State.
No, man, I came to Mississippi State to be a football player.
Yeah. And so, how did you get into aerospace engineering? That doesn't seem like something you just pick up. It doesn't feel like a hobby.
When I was in the NFL, got to a point where I figured out this wasn't going to be my long-term plan, and I had to figure out something else to do in my life. And back and surprisingly, when I first got to Mississippi State, I wanted to be a or study engineering, but they were like, "Nah, bro, choose something else because you came here to play football."
Yeah.
Chose business, graduated with a business degree, but as I alluded to, whenever football ended for me, I thought about my 18-year-old, about 19-year-old self, going to Mississippi State and wanting to study engineering. And I was like, man, I can do it now because I'm not playing football anymore, and I got somebody willing to give me a scholarship to go back to school. So I went back to school at UCF and I studied mechanical engineering. And you are about to graduate, you start applying to jobs, and I went to a job fair for Lockheed Martin, and just so happened to, find myself working at Aeronautics, and they gave me a job, and I've been an engineer ever since, man.
So when you're going to get your master's at UCF, did you have people, like, if they call your name in the role, did people go, "Vic Ballard, are you Vic Ballard, Vic Ballard?" Did you get that a lot?
Nah,
Nah.
funny thing though, that was just I don't remember what he was when I was in Indianapolis. I think he was like an intern or something like that. And coincidentally, he had moved to Orlando post his internship, and I was out there as well. And I was actually out on a date, and he walked up to me. He was like, "Are you Vic Ballard?" And I was like, "Yeah."
That's
And the girl,
perfect. He gassed you up on a date. That's good. That's good stuff.
right. So
Yeah.
the girl I was with, she didn't know anything really about my past, and she looked at me. And she was like, "Who are you?" And I was like, "Oh, nobody. He's just a guy I used to know from my past job."
It sounds like, on a Coming to America, where he's like, "It's just some guy I met in the restroom, but
Right.
he's
Yeah.
something
Exactly.
like that." So, Vic, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk about this game. It's a game that I think about kind of often when I think about the Mullen era and your performance in it. And I guess we'll end with this. If you were on the staff, you were going to go down to Gainesville with this team tomorrow, and you had to give a little pregame message, what would you tell
Oh man, this is something I was terrible at.
them?
Pre-game speech. I don't know. It's just, just walk out there with a swagger, man. They're coming off some tough losses, but close losses. So it's not like the team isn't talented. It's just similar to us, we got to find a way to put it all together. Play as a team, play hard, play fast, and know that you can come away with a win.
Vic, I really appreciate your time tonight, man. One of my all-time favorite Bulldogs. Glad to have you here on the podcast, and we'll hook up again down the road. Appreciate it, Vic Ballard, everybody.
Appreciate you having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.